It's Friday, April 16th. I'm Akila Hughes.
And I'm Gideon Resnick, and this is What a Day, the podcast that we are giving away free to anyone who's gotten the vaccine.
Yeah, also free if you haven't gotten the vaccine yet, but yeah, what Gideon said, it's true.
We don't know if podcasts can technically be sold.
Today, we're monitoring the fatal shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo by police in Chicago more than 2 weeks ago, who was holding his hands up. Body cam footage of the killing was released yesterday after intense public pressure. I won't be watching the video, but we'll link to that ongoing story in our show notes.
But first, the latest for today, where we wanted to recap one of the week's biggest news stories, the nationwide temporary pause on administering the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. Even before this development, Bloomberg News reported that certain U.S. states and cities had a growing surplus of doses by all manufacturers. It signaled that there are some pockets of people hesitant to get the shot. And so this recent news isn't the best for making sure everyone gets in line so we can achieve herd immunity soon.
But we're focusing on the most sensational headlines, that the first reported cases of the rare blood clotting disorder occurred in 6 women. Johnson & Johnson later reported that there were 2 more cases of people who also developed blood clots, including one 25-year-old man who participated in the trials.
Right, but the fact that it's predominantly women who develop these rare symptoms got us thinking about a longstanding problem in the medical research field, accounting for the ways that men, women, children, people of various races, and more all react differently to vaccines or drugs. There are pitfalls in thinking that there's always a one dose fits all. So we wanted to dive deep into this issue with an expert in the field.
Rosemary Morgan is a research scientist at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She's also the associate chair in inclusion, diversity, anti-racism, and equity for the International Health Department, where she's currently studying the gendered effects of COVID-19 on several international communities. Rosemary Morgan, thank you so much for being on our show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So we wanted to start with, the main news of the last few days. So when you first heard the news about the Johnson & Johnson shot being paused because of these rare blood clot conditions that had come up, but only in women on first reporting, what were the initial questions that you had?
Well, firstly, why is it only women reporting these specific side effects, blood clots? Is there a biological explanation for this? And if so, what is it? Also, more broadly, how much harm is the pause going to do in terms of vaccine hesitancy, specifically among women? And to be more frank, a bigger question I had was if they are so concerned about the risk of blood clots, particularly in relation to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, why hasn't there been a similar concern for the birth control pill? I recognize that the mechanisms are different, like different types of blood clots. But for the risk of the Johnson & Johnson, it's 1 in 1,000,000, right? But for birth control, for every 10,000 women taking the pill in a given year, between 3 and 9 will develop a blood clot, and which is concerning. It may not be as serious a blood clot, but it's still a blood clot. And why now? Why do we care now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we also know that there were a number of cases where women faced side effects with the AstraZeneca vaccine as well. We still don't know if that's, the definite connection there. And also that could be because, more women just are receiving the vaccine in general. But do either of these cases give you concerns about how any of the COVID-19 vaccine research has been done so far, in regards to that?
Well, yes and no. So my main concern with, the COVID-19 vaccine research is the same with all medical research, to be honest, is whether or not the data that was being recorded was the data being recorded by sex and then analyzed. So were they even looking for differences, in both outcome in terms of outcome data, but also adverse reactions or side effect data? So you have men and women in your study, hopefully it's around 50% men, 50% women. Yeah. One, you need to collect questions of like, what adverse reactions did you, or what side effects did you experience? Chills, fever, right? So once you've got that data, what you now need to do is like, okay, how many people reported that they had a chills and a fever after? All right, how many of those people were men and how many of those were women? Because right now, if you look on the websites for the adverse reactions during the clinical trials, it doesn't do that. You know, there are definitely some common side effects, you know, sore arm, rash, fever, and chills with the COVID-19 vaccine. But there might also be some sex-specific side effects. So right now, I don't know if you've seen recently in the news, while it's anecdotal, some women are reporting disruptions in their menstrual cycles.
Can attest.
And it's anecdotal. I know some researchers are looking at that now.
And more broadly speaking, can you talk about why women and men can have different reactions to vaccines in a general sense?
Sure. So we do know that women report more side effects from vaccines in general. So not just COVID-19. I do research related to the influenza vaccine, and it's the same. And, you know, there's a lot of data to support that. So when it comes to vaccines, women experience a greater immune response that can make vaccines work better in women than men. And this is due to how hormones like estrogens and our genetic makeup affect the functioning of our immune system. And when it comes to drugs, particularly, women absorb and metabolize drugs at a different rate than men.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And that's a great lead into the next question. You know, we know that modern medicine is mostly based on how white men react to medical studies. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine trials, 44% of participants were women, though there were more, you know, there are more women on earth than men. That is just a fact. So what is the history of white men being the so-called default? And, you know, what problems has this caused over time?
Sure. And this is like an issue I feel particularly strongly about. I get up on my soapbox and it makes
I'm up here with you.
It makes me angry. It does. This issue makes me really angry. So the fact that clinical research has historically neglected sex and gender differences. You know, in the United States particularly, so prior to 1993, it was the U.S. Revitalization Act of 1993, women were excluded from clinical trials. And so they were excluded primarily due to, you know, fear of potential harms to pregnant women and their fetuses, and also how might women's hormones affect. So the decision was made to use the male body, and as you rightly pointed to, it wasn't just any male body, it was a male body of a certain height, weight, age, also white, as the standard by which everything else was measured. So many drugs that in the market today, especially those that were developed pre-1990s, are therefore based on research which excluded, you know, women and other groups, minority men likely as well. Things have changed. Women are included in clinical trials now, but are the outcomes being compared differently? And you mentioned what the implications of this are. So there was one study, for example, that showed, and this was in relation to the influenza vaccine, that women's response to a half dose was similar to men's response to a full dose in terms of effectiveness. Right. So the question is, if men and women are being given the same dosage, and this is often based on research on what worked for men's bodies, women tend to be smaller. A really good example to highlight this is related to Ambien, which is that common common sleep aid.
Yeah, is it that one that made Roseanne racist? She was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, my Ambien." That's who was tweeting.
Exactly. Just to say, Ambien does not cause it does not cause racism. However, research has shown that Ambien has been linked to higher rates of car accidents among women in the morning. And this is because men and women were being given the same dosage, 10 milligrams. And when men woke up, it was completely out of their system. But when women woke up, some of it was still in the system because they metabolized it differently. So really, women should be getting 5 milligrams, not 10. This is like about sex. Yeah. Some drugs, and the question is also with some vaccines, should we be having sex-specific dosages?
Absolutely. And I mean, this does in ways go beyond gender too. You know, you've done quite a bit of research about these disparities in vaccine trial representation, particularly among women and people of color. Now, I did my own deep dive on the J&J trial data, and I found that 44% of those people, of the participants, were Americans. But almost three-fourths of those people were white. And, you know, I get that the company may be American, so maybe that's why Americans, you know, are such a big chunk of the study, but the entire world is hoping to rely on that research, and the majority of the world is not white. So does it even make sense to have a trial that is not diverse like the world's population is?
Diversity in medical research is so important. Whether it's gender or racial diversity, you know, data needs to be collected and analyzed in a desegregated manner. Sometimes some differences may present as behavioral or biological, but are actually the result of larger socio-structural inequalities, such as structural racism. So this is where, you know, racism does cause health inequities, right? Which affects these inequities affect minority access to healthcare, healthy food, education, you know.
The actual environment that they're growing up in, if the air is bad.
Exactly.
I mean, sort of to that point, you know, I have asthma. In my entire life, I've been prescribed albuterol. And it wasn't for, you know, most of my life that they had ever researched the differences between, you know, how races react to it. Mm. And for a lot of Black people and Puerto Rican people, albuterol is ineffective. I found that out this year for the first time talking to a specialist. And so, you know, I just think that it's a really important point that you're making, which is that, like, you know, we're not saying that if you're a different race, you are in any way lesser than or whatever. It's just that the medicine should work for you.
Exactly. You answered the question before by why is it problematic if we're only measuring things against white male body and racial groups, you know, Black Americans versus white Americans experience things differently. It goes without saying that Black women things might affect them or will affect them differently than Black men. But we are not seeing these types of intersectional analyses, which I think are so important.
Yeah, and to kind of bring it all back to what may or may not happen here in the next week or so, after more research is done, is there a possibility that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine gets recommended for certain groups in the United States and not others? And then also, how do you balance out the risks of any vaccine that gets rolled out so fast like these have been against the need to find some solution to COVID-19 immediately? Because I could definitely hear a pharmaceutical CEO, you know, try to defend themselves, answering any of these questions, saying, well, the virus has the potential to be so much more lethal than any of the things that we may or may not have missed throughout our clinical trial data.
It's really important that we understand or, you know, think about what the risk-benefit ratio is. So what's the risk to me versus the benefits that I might get? And this has to go with vaccines or medicines. I mean, how many commercials have you seen on TV for drugs, you know, especially in the U.S., it's a U.S. thing. I'm actually Canadian. This is a U.S. thing where the list of potential side effects are like the length of your arm and they're so fast. You don't even know what they're saying, but people still take them, right? Why? Because the potential benefits for them outweigh the risks. And I think it's the same with vaccines, you know, and the one thing with the COVID-19 vaccine, I think is important to recognize is that, you know, the rollout was fast or it seemed very fast. But you have to understand that the infrastructure to develop the vaccines was already there. So the science was there, and so much work had already been put into this that they were able to produce it so quickly. So, you know, it is possible that after more research, a certain vaccine might be recommended from one group or another, and which may actually be due to biological reasons. And I don't necessarily see that as problematic. Like, we need sex-specific dosing, you know, as long as people are making informed decisions based on their own risk-benefit analysis.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. You know, we can't let perfect be the enemy of the good.
Exactly.
You know, all of the issues that we're talking about here today, unfortunately, can, you know, sometimes undermine people's trust in science because we can point to enough examples of times that science overlooked some pretty crucial information. What can scientists do here in this case, you know, as a step to rebuilding trust during such an important time? Like, how do you think they can sort of mend what is already broken?
As scientists, it's really important that we have clear messaging, for example, you know, and that we answer people's questions as they come up. And it's also important that the messaging we put out is not alarmist. I think that's important, especially with these vaccines. So yes, more women are reporting side effects, for example, but these side effects are more often than not mild. And it actually means women's immune systems are working. You know, they're more robust. They're ramping up. They're working. So it's how can we fix what's already broken. I think we also need to talk to each other and make sure we're doing appropriate and correct science that is has diverse representation, that we're asking the right questions, and that, to me, these equity questions are so important.
Absolutely.
And knowing more about how trials and tests work and how it may filter down to us when we go to the pharmacy or a doctor, what's your advice to people for when they get that next vaccine, whatever it may be, or that next prescription? What questions, if any, should or could they be asking from healthcare professionals about, you know, dosages, for instance?
The questions that I would have, I don't think local pharmacies or pharmacists would be able to answer. Because they wouldn't know. So, you know, my questions are actually for those conducting the research in the first place. Are your samples diverse? Are you disaggregating and analyzing your data by sex and other stratifiers? Are you asking the right questions in the first place to understand how men and women might be affected differently? So when a woman or man, when a person goes up and talks to their pharmacist, talks to their doctor and asks, what might side effects might I experience? They can tell them the right answer. They can say, look, your menstrual cycle, we do see it's linked, might be disrupted. It's not just about fevers and chills. It's not just about a sore arm and a rash.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You know, I think the pharmacists and doctors need the science and the data for them to be able to also relay the right information to women and men.
Rosemary, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Oh, great. Thank you for having me.
That was Rosemary Morgan, a research scientist at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And that's the latest for now. We'll be back after some ads with a special headlines guest. Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
And today we have a very special guest, comedian, actress, and star of Home Economics on ABC and co-host of Best Friends with Nicole Byer that comes out every Wednesday. It's a podcast. Listen to it or you get them. Sashir Zameda. Hello.
Hello.
Beer, beer, beer. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I like that I had to bring my own sound effects. I can't believe you didn't have them set up for me. Mm-hmm.
We apologize from the bottom of our hearts.
No budget.
DIY of the setup.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard in these COVID times. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there is a great new way to make money, and it's called getting scurvy 4 years ago at Firefest. a class action settlement was reached this week, and now the 277 people who attended the event in 2017 will get about $7,000 each. As a reminder, Firefest was pitched as a luxury music festival on a tropical island, and when people got there, they found no music, limited water, FEMA emergency tents, and meals that can only be described as apocalypse Lunchables. You hate to see it. well, I actually love to see it. founder Billy McFarland and co-founder Ja Rule faced dozens of lawsuits since the disaster, including one that ordered McFarland to pay $5 million to two attendees who bought $13,000 VIP packages. So, yeah, that's the new Dogecoin, I guess. There are no true winners in this case, only people who lost less than others. McFarland is still in prison, serving a six-year sentence.
I wonder how much money is that guy who... Didn't he suck dick for water?
Yeah. Thing,
right?
Yeah. I hope he sued as well. He deserves at least
how much
a
is
million.
He getting in compensation for that?
Yeah,
he deserves more than anybody.
Right? And he said it on TV.
I mean, that's damages for the rest of his life.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. He shows up, you know, that's everybody's asking where the water's at.
Or they're like, I got some water for you. How about this?
Exactly. Oh, poor baby.
Well, in Canada, there was a tragic example of Zoom fatigue overlapping with clothes fatigue. A liberal lawmaker, which I love that they keep saying liberal lawmaker, because if it said conservative, we'd be like, this makes sense.
Exactly.
He accidentally exposed himself during a virtual meeting of parliament this week because he didn't realize he was on camera. Mm-hmm. William Amos of Quebec was apparently changing into workout clothes, which, you know, the message here is never work out.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
You can save your job. Never work out. His mistake was called out by a fellow lawmaker who also used the opportunity to shoot her shot.
We have seen that the member was in very good shape, but I think that this member should be reminded of what is appropriate and to control his camera. Thank you.
Whoa.
Surprised she didn't go farther. And she's like, this member is very long and this member is
like,
very
just
thick.
Just in case you don't know who we're talking about. Right. Talking about the one with the really big balls.
The incident led to plenty of jokes, but also criticism of the people who leaked the pictures and helped spread them online. If you guys like nudes so much, I'm sure there are at least one or two others on the internet. But that's like illegal, right? Shouldn't everybody be like that? Only government officials were on the Zoom, so
you know someone.
Seems pretty straightforward. It was that person who was like, "Got him."
Well, now he's a famous Amos.
Exactly. The second one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's not what he wants. President Biden is finally standing up for the nation's computers, hitting Russia with sanctions yesterday for its role in a massive hacking scheme last December. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time the federal government has openly blamed Russia for executing the so-called SolarWinds hack, which compromised computer systems of multiple government agencies and around 100 private companies in the U.S. Do not worry. My laptop was untouched, even though it contains dozens of hilarious reaction GIFs that the Russians, quite frankly, would have loved. You are missing out, Vlad. The SolarWinds hack was first detected back in December, but the Trump administration was a little hesitant to acknowledge it, let alone blame Russia. That is just not how you treat your ride or dies in these times. The sanctions will affect Russian financial institutions, tech companies, and individuals the Biden administration deemed responsible for the hack.
I didn't hear about this when this actually happened last year, and so I was like... Did someone hack the wind? Like, I thought that all the...
The solar winds.
So I guess wind during daylight, that's being hacked now. And redirecting to other places.
Yeah, it all belongs to Russia.
Oh, that's my gosh. Well, we don't want that. We don't want that at all.
We need some wind. It'd be nice. Mm-hmm.
A group of scientists have decided to reboot evolution by successfully growing human embryos inside monkeys. Mm. Everyone has their little quarantine project, and theirs was laughing in the face of God. Oh. The facts of the experiment were published yesterday in Cell. Not in Cell.
So, by a bunch of incels.
To clarify. And they're a little less freaky than the one-line summary. The embryos only grew for 19 days, so no one had to address the question of who the monkey baby would call mom. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering why someone would do this, like I am, besides just to freak everyone out, scientists hope that by learning to grow human cells in animal models, they'll eventually be able to grow organs, which could be used for transplants. Just be aware that if you do get a hybrid monkey heart, you will become addicted to bananas.
You know, I've heard about this. And the monkey ear, you know how they're like, sometimes don't hear evil? That could be a real hindrance. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh, or even see evil.
Big. Yeah, no evil.
Or I mean, speak it.
Speak it, right? Yeah. Let's just all decide what animal more, we want.
More crime. More crime will happen. I tell you that.
That's true.
Exactly. This is the crime that we all need to be looking out for, quite frankly. My goodness. Well, Sashir, you are absolutely a ray of sunshine. Is there anything else that you would like to plug? Anywhere else people can find you?
All my socials are at The Sheer Truth, T-H-E, Sheer Truth. And yeah, my podcast, Home Economics is airing right now. We're going to film Woke Season 2 soon, so catch up and watch Woke Season 1 on Hulu. And, you know, just be kind to each other.
Oh, wow. What a wholesome, what a good way message. To end the headlines. Well, those are the headlines.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, collect $7,000 from Billy McFarland, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just terrifying species combination news like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Akilah Hughes.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And turn off your Zoom cam. You don't even have to have it on when you join. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Pants off, Zoom cam
also off, please.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
What A Day is a production of Crooked Media.
It's recorded and mixed by Charlotte Landis.
Sonia Tun is our assistant producer.
Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Leo Duran, Akilah Hughes, and me.
Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If getting more fiber and protein while reducing net carbs, sugar, and calories fits your health goals for the new year, get better macros in your go-to dishes with Hero Bread. From a quick 19-gram protein breakfast bagel to Taco Tuesday for your family, your favorite recipes are covered. They have sliced bread, tortillas, bagels, and more with protein and high fiber. And there's 0 to 5 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar. To help hit your goals with easy swaps for your favorite bready dishes, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code HERO26 at checkout. That's 10% off with code HERO26 at HERO.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread contains up to 18 grams of fat per serving. Not a low-calorie food. See nutrition facts at hero.co.